Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
And I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And this is
Jordan,
Jesse, go!
Icicles, tricycles, ice cream, candy, lollipops, popsicles, licorice sticks, Solomon, Grundy, Raggedy Andy, Tweedledum and Tweedledee, home free.
This week, Hearst Castle, local television commercials, advice for an aspiring radio host, and more. Let's go. Welcome to Jordan, Jesse, Go. I am Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
And I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
We've got a guest with us today. Welcome, comedian Chris Fairbanks.
That's me.
It is.
That is me.
That was a sincere laugh, but it accidentally came out as a patronizing morning show guy laugh.
Of course it's you, you idiot.
You have a lot of fun on this program.
Yeah. We're going to be asking you a lot of questions that set you up for your bits.
Oh, okay. Too. Terrific. So, well, yeah. I've given you all the cue lines.
You enjoyed the pre-interview, I presume.
I'd like you to Byron Allen me into all my bits.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, I mean, have you noticed this, that dog people and cat people are completely different?
Oh, and then I go into my pre-rehearsed.
Yeah.
It sounds like you don't like dating, am I right? And then...
I mean, dating is crazy.
Let me totally change the subject for this guy.
We are live today in our introduction, live in a village in India.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice of you, Chris, oh, by the way, just as a side thing, come out for the intro, because I know it was a long flight.
Oh, it really was, but any opportunity to come to a small village and purchase a severed chicken head from a small child for soup making. I don't know what guns on in India. That's as far as I'll go with that, but I know.
Admittedly, that was purely conjecture.
I do know that they sell chicken heads. I've heard of it and seen it. And
okay, good.
I don't know what they're used for, but...
Jordan, did you have a nice week this week?
Yeah, I did have a nice week. Thank you.
Did you know that it was my birthday?
I did, and I missed your birthday party because I was working, because I was doing... I could not come to your birthday party because I was doing a promotional event. I was working at a promotional event for the Jamie Kennedy movie, Kickin' It Old School.
That's about the best excuse that anyone could come up with. Yeah, I can't come to you, my best pal's birthday party, because I have to go
to
a promotional event for Jamie Kennedy.
Yeah, I mean, I have my priorities straight, Jesse. It goes Jamie Kennedy, Earthquake, you. So, you know, you're pretty high up there.
I have heard from someone, I'm not going to say who it was, but his name started with Jord, that this Jamie Kennedy film actually includes a sequence in which an Asian person appears on the screen and a gong is hit.
No, no, no.
Wow.
An extra diegetic gong is heard. You know, like in 80s movies how they had those offensive Asian characters and when they would come on the screen, like out, like...
Long just duck dong.
Yeah,
or something.
For instance, a gong would be hit. That happens in Kickin' It Old School.
Wow.
I had to watch a lot of clips from it for work. We had to pick a
they
clip.
They did Kick It Old School.
Yeah, I know. That's
what's amazing is that this is actually, I don't know if you knew this.
Also, when a black character comes on screen, tap dancing is heard.
Really? Well.
No, that's exaggerated, but kind of the same thing, right?
Good God.
I don't know if you
really
if
funny.
You already knew about this, Chris, but this is an actual film that has been released to theaters.
Oh yes, I've seen the billboards, and
I just assumed that it was an elaborate hoax.
The female star of the movie. I don't know if this will be interesting. Let's talk about this. The female star of the movie. I forget her name. She's like one of these Access Hollywood reporters.
Wait, an Access Hollywood reporter stars in the movie?
Yes, she's the female acting lead.
Uh-huh.
And her previous...
Is it Lisa Gibbons?
Not
Lisa Gibbons. It's she's Hispanic-ish.
Diane Sawyer?
Yes, Diane Sawyer.
It's Diane Sawyer, so she is.
Yeah.
Hugh Downs? Is it Hugh Downs?
It's Andy Rooney. plays Jamie Kennedy's love interest in the greatest greatest movie of all time.
As far as I'm concerned, Andy Rooney looks better and better with each passing year.
Mm-hmm. He is aging beautifully.
He is one hot Latina.
Spicy.
Gong.
And I noticed from seeing her in person versus seeing her on the poster, seeing her stand next to her poster, for the poster, her behind has been photoshopped considerably.
Wow.
Like, it would be like photoshopping out Owen Wilson's weird nose. It's the same thing they did to this woman's ample behind.
And then really, she had to hang out next to it?
Yeah, and she was standing, and he was just in, you know, do the press when, I mean, I think the elephant in the room was, hey, why is your behind not so plump on the poster?
Oh, that's not my body entirely. Neck up.
Well, how did it look in the film?
I did not see the film. I didn't really notice her behind when I watched the clips.
There
of
weren't
it.
Any behind shots in the clips.
No.
That's calculated, though.
I just want to, in case maybe someone missed it, I really wanted to be clear that I have not watched this film, nor do I plan
to. Did you shake Jamie Kennedy's hand?
Yes, I did.
You used to work for Jamie Kennedy.
It's so big, it's like a novelty gorilla glove. Like a fake
when
hand.
When did you shake Jamie Kennedy's hand, Chris?
He hosted the Laugh Riots contest, stand-up contest I did 3 years ago, 4 years ago. 2003, when was that? Four.
And to be fair to Jamie Kennedy, I mean, you know, maybe his films or his television work aren't that great, but he's a gifted stand-up comedian.
Oh, and he certainly isn't. Oh, no, he is not. I've never seen somebody so bad at a task. Well, so let's...
He made this movie, and I don't want to make this whole thing about complaining about Jamie Kennedy, but he's recently made this movie about hecklers that's been making the festival rounds recently, in which he confronts hecklers, and he interprets hecklers broadly as including both people who might heckle him on a comedy stage and people who, criticized his films. I guess he's made other films before this one. And it's kind of like...
Kicking It Old School is a spiritual sequel to Malibu's Most Wanted.
Oh, okay.
Spiritual successor.
Wow.
Anyway.
And did it say that in the press notes?
No, but it's, you know, who was implied.
I would have liked to have seen that in the press notes. I completely forgot where we were.
His heckling movie?
heckling movie.
Jamie Kennedy made this heckling film, and... As much as the prospect of watching a film about heckling is kind of, a documentary about heckling is kind of interesting to me, like, how does he get to go talk to, like, newspaper critics who didn't like Malibu's Most Wanted? Like, what newspaper critic did like Malibu's Most Wanted? Like, that's hardly unjustified heckling somehow. It's like he interviews, like, George Carlin talking about some heckler in, you know, 1974. And then he, like, confronts a guy who wrote a bad review. And like,
then he gets up in A.O. Scott's grill.
Does he confront people? It shows him, like, going up and confronting them?
Yeah. That's like, where the excitement of the film comes in. It's like, it's sort of like Roger and Me, only with Jamie Kennedy confronting people who wrote bad reviews of Malibu's Most Wanted instead of...
Wow.
Instead of Michael Moore confronting people who took jobs from his hometown.
That upsets me.
I hear you had an experience with a heckler recently. And also, the internet is crazy.
That's so funny that you mentioned those two things that I have specific follow-up stories for. The other night, while on the internet, someone heckled my dial-up.
This is Jordan.
I like to combine them.
This is Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
And I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
With us, Chris Fairbanks. We'll be back in just a second.
Are we still in India?
This is Jordan Jesse Go. I am Jesse.
I'm Jordan.
With us, comedian Chris Fairbanks. Hello, Chris.
I'm Chris.
Okay, just
yes.
Chris?
Yeah, Fairbanks, actually.
Good. Are you related to, like, Douglas Fairbanks? Are you a legendary Fairbanks?
Wasn't his real name, stage name. I was lucky enough.
Is it your stage name?
I was born with this name. On a stage, my mother was a play actress. And unfortunately, the director of the play liked it so much that she had to have a baby every night.
Uh-huh.
So yeah. I have 8 siblings.
Gotcha. And it was a one-week run.
Well, yeah.
Two matinees.
Obviously, yeah. You guys aren't familiar with Broadway. The weeks run 9. Because you have to do...
It was Tuesday through...
Two weekends at the end of a week.
Uh-huh.
Right. So each night she had to have a... No, it's my real name. That has nothing to do with Douglas Fairbanks.
You know what I did for my birthday, Jordan?
What?
Well, for one thing, I went to see Casper Hauser, and that was the event that you missed, because you're not a good friend. But what I did, Teresa, my special lady friend Teresa, gave me a trip to the Hearst Castle. Because I've been talking, for years I've been talking shit about wanting to go to the Hearst Castle. Ever since I saw this documentary on PBS called called The Battle Over Citizen Kane, which was about like Orson Welles and William Randolph Hearst's fight over Citizen Kane, which is based on the life of William Randolph Hearst. And I've always just really wanted to go because it seems like it would be really kick-ass. And it turns out it fucking delivers.
Yeah.
That Hearst Castle is tops. You've been there. Right?
I too have been on the Hearst Castle tour, and I don't know how much it's changed in the last 5 years. But
it's what was your
my life peaked 5 years ago when I went on it.
When you go to the Hearst Castle, you have to go on a tour. You can't just go check it out.
Oh,
which
no.
is kind of lame.
There's valuables on. You can't
exactly
just go running willy nilly.
And the tour costs. I think it cost $25
yeah,
a ticket
it was
or something.
I remember
like that.
Cringing. I was worth it in the end, though.
Yeah, it
worth
was
a quarter
totally
of $100. Yeah.
What was your? Because the tour, it's weird because you're experiencing this amazing thing, but your whole experience is through like the mediation of this weird, weird tour.
It's tainted somewhat by someone that's doing their little spiel, and it's very rehearsed. And mine was like an old lady in a floppy hat that maybe. For a split.
Was it like a period floppy hat?
It
or was.
Was
she, that's just what she wore to work. It
well,
wasn't
that's
like
not
a
be gross. No, it was like just a sun hat.
Okay.
And sorry. And she was maybe felt like she wanted to be a little actress when she was 20 or something, and she was conjuring up that when she
was she
would,
doing dialogue?
Yeah. She when we came in, she's like, "Imagine you, sir." You glance over. There's Clark Gable. Like she's trying to paint.
It'd be
this
funny
picture.
If she's like, "Imagine you, sir," and just there's no one standing there. She's pointing to a garbage can.
And it was actually just a mannequin with a crooked mustache that was supposed to be Clark Gable.
My tour guide was this kind of like 60-year-old man, and he had kind of, in a funny way, he had sort of like the affect of Creed from The Office. I don't know if you've seen the American Office show.
A little bit.
He is sort
know.
Of like a.
I'm
he's
just familiar
sort
with the band.
Of felt like maybe he's about 60, maybe 55. And he looked like, before he started doing tours for the Hearst Castle, his career was as a drifter.
Uh-huh.
And he had possibly killed someone at a truck stop at some point.
Oh wow!
But he was past that. Like that was in his past. To be clear, like it's he wasn't. He didn't look like he was going to murder someone right then and there. But he looked like someone who was hiding a murder in his past.
Did he have a pale green tattoo between his index finger and thumb that was applied with a doorbell motor tattoo gun?
He did. He actually. It's funny that you mentioned that. Yeah, he actually did that while we were on tour. That's how I know how it was applied. Is he did it during the tour.
He was a late 70s carpetbagger. Mm-hmm. They used to go town to town, sell elixirs, and if anyone complained that it didn't help them, they'd kill him.
That was pretty much the situation. He would say a fact about it, and then he would go, "Isn't it?" Or, "How about that?" And he would wait...
Oh, they expect interaction. I do remember that. And people were there. I thought they were working for the tour guides. These people would go, pardon me, if everyone would look at me all of a sudden, even though I'm on the tour like
they
you.
They were plants.
This newspaper up on the wall. I noticed the date says 1942. Would that be a normal newspaper that would be in the room when you said that he used to lounge in here in the early 20s? Like, try and call him on the history facts? It was really, like, there... It was amazing.
I was really impressed because the guy who led my tour would say something like one fact I remember him saying would be something like, we were standing outside of the main castle. There's a main castle building, and then there's a few guest houses, and we were standing outside the main castle, and he says, "Everybody, over here is the main castle, 12,000 square feet of closet space." Isn't that amazing, folks? And then he would look around wanting you to say, "Yes, that is amazing.
All of my shoes would be easily housed."
And in that quiet time, I would wonder, does he do this to stretch out the tour because he only knows a certain number of facts?
Right.
But then he would be in some area of the building, and someone would ask the weirdest fucking question.
Uh-huh.
Like, he would be like, somebody would just be like, this fixture, was it by something something? And he would go like, that's Italian made from the late 18th century. Mr. Hearst brought it from blah, 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 blah. And you'd be like, whoa, shit. He literally knew everything.
Or did he make it up because he's a prison tattooed ex-carpetbagger?
That is more likely.
He's probably run a lot of long cons in his life, I would think. So you have to be able to improvise a little bit.
In fact, I think that he kept mentioning that he'd been working at the Hearst Castle for 23 years. I think it is a 25-year long con that he's running right now.
It's so funny that you wanted to talk about that, because after that tour, I really wanted to do like a mockumentary or something about just tours in general. And I really, before I die, I want to give a tour of Hearst Castle, an improvised tour. And it's really hard to set up.
it's hard for them to.
Yeah, you gave a call to the Park Service, and
you can't get it. It says, you know, the reasons that they won't let you leave that front room without a tour guide are the same reasons they won't let you go in and tinker in with that Tiffany lamp or whatever. They just don't want you touching anything. So it's
The place is like really just one of the most amazing things you could ever see.
It is impressive.
It's like I had really high hopes, and it really delivered.
It really
squarely. Like, there really is this
amazing,
huge, like, Roman style bathing
paintings.
Hall.
Yeah, that bathing area and the paintings on the, there's like a Sistine Chapel thing going on in that study. Like, there's paintings on the ceiling.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
It's totally stunning. And
this doesn't sound like that snoozer that is the Alamo.
No. Oh,
ever been to that thing?
Time. I just went there to buy a vial of Ozzy's urine. Am I right, guys? Come on, remember?
I remember that.
Yeah.
I was trying to find my bicycle, but it turns out there's no basement.
Sorry.
I was trying to learn about history.
Something that struck me about the Hearst Castle is, as you go on this tour, I realized he kept referring to William Randolph Hearst as Mr. Hearst. And I realized that in this entire tour, which took an hour and a half, I would say, or at least an hour and a quarter, at no point did he admit to the fact that maybe William Randolph Hearst was a little bit batshit insane.
Yeah.
Like, at one point we were standing, this is again when we were standing outside the main building, he was talking about how William Randolph Hearst had owned the whole Hearst Empire outright, and he eventually had to incorporate because his spending was, he was spending something like $100,000 a day in 1939 or something. So they had to incorporate and put him on an allowance. And he said, and the tour guide just goes, and
who did his
Mr.
caretaker? Like,
well, he was out of money. Like, he owed something. He owed three times his annual income, and his annual net income was something like, $100 million a year. I believe he owed $120 million, and he earned $40 million a year. And so he had to incorporate to get the capital to pay off his debt. And the tour guide goes, Mr. Hurst at one point was spending $40 million every year. No, he, Mr. Hurst at one point was spending $100, $200, sometimes $500,000 in a day. You might say that he was a little out of control.
Wow.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And then he looks around and wants us to answer that.
Yeah,
you'd agree that that's out of control.
And but that was the word. That was the only time he alluded to the fact. Like they never mentioned, for example, like that he was the subject of Citizen Kane. It's like, what if you went to like you know, Robinson Crusoe's house and they never mentioned Robinson Crusoe? Now, granted, Robinson Crusoe. Fictional figure.
Yeah.
But I think you understand.
What if you found out on that tour and you were disappointed? It's like finding out that
all of this is not real. You're, I've been lying to you this whole tour.
Douglas Fairbanks' real name is John Johnson.
You're at Disneyland and you like tap somebody on the shoulder. Are there photos of the real Swiss Family Robinson in this treehouse? But like they never like
what was the real Space Mountain like?
There was no acknowledgement of the possibility that maybe it was unusual to build this vast castle
and
with 12
populated with African animals.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
He had
zebras.
Bears and zebras and stuff.
And they pretended they were still on the my tour guide was pretending, "Oh, look over there. A zebra's come to nibble on Clark Gable's hairpiece or whatever." Like she, and people were looking around like, "Oh, okay, she's making an imaginary world." But then she'd be like, "Now come into here, into the dining area," and then it's like, "Oh, okay, we're back to reality." She's
but they claim that there are real zebras on the property still.
Yeah, they do claim that, and I tell you, I took a bus to and fro, and so did you. Did you see?
I did not see a zebra.
Yeah, it's a bunch of lion, elderly carpetbagger tour guides. And I don't like how they make this fantasy time. Like, and they do ask those questions at the end of, they're like, they expect interaction, but if they get it, they're thrown off. Like, there's a little kid on the tour, and she was talking, like, it was coming towards the end. She's like, "We went through this and that," and then she looks at the little kid, and she's like, "Which room are you staying in tonight?" And this kid just looked at her, and she's like, "We have to sleep here?" And, and she said, "No, no, no." But it was like, well, the way you asked that, yeah, a little kid's going to think, "You're making me stay here, you crazy lady."
If you're wondering, Chris, where the little kid would have stayed, it would have been in the wing of the castle that had three-quarter-sized everything.
Oh, I forgot about that. Like, it's like a 7.5 floor.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like everything's
but
little.
Wait, and like, just is it for the
it's for
children
the kids. It's
who
for
would
the
be visiting
kids
his
who
crazy,
visiting.
He his just crazy spent, booze mansion?
He spent $4 million 1 year just preparing for the...
How many
in
children...
In case the cast of Time Bandits came. Or just new midget friends.
Did you watch the movie? Did they have the movie when you went?
I didn't watch a movie.
My experience included watching a movie on a gargantuan screen in the National Geographic Hearst Castle Theater. And this theater, it was like one of those IMAX things, you know, you remember that, you remember it now. What was bizarre about it to me, besides the movie itself, which we can talk about in a second, was there's this huge, like 250-seat movie theater. There's maybe 45 people on my tour. And they made us all, like they had an usher who like ushered us into the top row and like made us like fit in. And so like it's just 45 people sitting like in half of the top row of the theater.
Wow.
And then the whole rest of the theater completely empty.
Well, that, yeah, that's disappointing.
It was one of the, as a viewer. It was really odd. It was like,
why not let everyone in?
Why not at least let the woman who's translating everything into German for her grandmother sit in like the other opposite corner?
There's someone translating for German sitting near you?
Yeah, a young German woman. Wow. German-American, I would posit.
Yeah.
Because she was translating pretty fluently for her German grandmother.
Okay, okay.
And she, would they?
You would think. You think it was accurate.
Well, one of the reasons that I think it was an interesting translation was because I heard how excited she got when we were on the bus and we drove past the bear cages, and the recorded narration on the bus told us that the bear cages were designed after some bear cages that Mr. Hurst had seen while traveling in Germany. Uh-huh. And that's when I heard, Specker Schmerker Schmeck Deutschland! Da, 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 da.
Can you imagine how exhausting that would be, like having a, like, just everything you hear during the day you have to say out loud to the person sitting next to you? Doesn't that sound exhausting?
I once wrote a paper in my anthropology class in college about this woman that was these deaf guys were watching the play, and she was turning around signing, sometimes four actors at once, mm-hmm. having a dialogue, and she was signing for everyone, and they were like laughing like 10 seconds after everyone, but she was obviously doing a really good job because they were like having a good time and understanding the play. And this woman was sweating. She was just sweating from having to...
On cable access in Santa Cruz, where Jordan and I went to college, there was a documentary that they would play all the time, like constantly, about the guy who translated the concerts at the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk. He was this classic Santa Cruz guy. Like, he was sort of like a long-haired version of the tour guide on my tour. And
he's killed people, too.
He probably did kill someone, but he didn't kill someone, like, with a gun or a knife. He, like,
killed
accidentally...
Killed them with bad acid.
Exactly.
He sharpened license plate.
Yeah, he didn't realize that the blow was cut with rat poison or something like that.
And, but he still dismembered the bodies.
Yeah,
he's still a professional. I mean,
he had to do what he had to do what he had to do, you know? Mm-hmm. And he would... He was such a Santa Cruz-y dude, and he would talk in this documentary, which I watched several times... I don't know. You just see it. You can't.
I feel the same
away.
Way about Captain Ron. Like, oh man, why have I seen that five times?
Dude, Kirk, God bless. Kirk Russell,
I know why I've seen Captain Ron, because Gene O'Neill made us watch it. He brought it over to our house and wouldn't let us not watch it. But he would talk about the signing guy would talk about how important it is to show the spirit of the Beach Boys when you're signing along to, like, Little Old Lady from Pasadena or something like that. And he would show, like, how he would sign Little Old Lady, and it was the goofiest shit I've ever seen in my life.
He just pretended he was on acid and laying in bed for a year?
Pretty much, yeah. They'd just put a bed up on there on the stage. It was one
Hi,
of
Brian
those
Wilson.
Tempur-Pedic kind of operations. This is Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse.
I'm Jordan.
I'm Chris. I'm a guest.
Way to go, Chris Fairbanks. We'll be back in just a second. This is Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse.
I'm Jordan.
Jordan, people sometimes listen to, you know, the intro on The Sound of Young America where people say, The Sound of Young America is an independent production supported by listeners like you and me, blah, 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 blah,
I
blah, blah,
blah. I
usually
skip that, but yeah.
I think people often kind of space out during that, or they mm-hmm. don't really understand what it means. What it really means is that we really are an independent production, like really are people sitting in my living room. It really is my actual job, and we really are supported by donations. So, first ever Sound of Young America listener donation drive, pledge drive, if you will. What I wanted to do, and you can email me if you think this is a good idea, because if enough people email me, I'll totally do it, because I do genuinely want to do it. I wanted to print up tote bags. Sound of Young America tote bags.
That's a great, it's a classic pledge drive gift.
I thought maybe I could print up ones that said something like, I donated to the Sound of Young America and all I got was this lousy tote bag.
Yeah.
Cute. Or just a regular tote bag. I don't know. I'm not even sure exactly what a tote bag is.
It's like a something you would take to Trader Joe's to get your groceries in.
that is like made out of canvas?
Yeah, it's like a canvas, I think so.
I think
right?
That's what it is, too.
I don't think there's any zippers involved.
They're too flat. That's what I always don't like about those bags. They're too flat. They don't have like a bottom panel. They could use a bottom panel in my mind.
I hear you.
We're doing this pledge drive because, you know, we need money to buy the equipment, this new microphone that Jordan's talking to, into, for example.
La, 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 la.
If you want to donate, there's two ways you can do it. The first and easiest way is to visit MaximumFun.org. There's a thing up in the upper right-hand corner that says donate. You click on it. You click on how much you want to give, and we usually do it we usually ask people to give, like, on a monthly basis. So you're either giving $2 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month, $20 a month. The reason that I do that is so that we don't have to have a bunch of pledge drives, because if you ask people to give once, then you have to go back to them and ask the time. If you're a student or something, you can donate $2 a month. It bills like $6 every 3 months or something like that, and it's like super easy. If you're a professional and you want to donate $10 a month, it's still like a pretty modest amount compared to, you know, your cable bill or whatever.
Sure.
$20 a month is the same deal. And you're
that $5 latte you're buying every morning, right?
Exactly,
right,
Jordan?
People?
You got it.
Internet.
Now, I want to be clear. We're running this pledge drive the 1st through the 15th, and I'm giving shit away, because that's what pledge drives is about. It's not about raising money for a worthy cause. It's about giving shit away. Everybody who donates will get a Maximum Fun Club pack. What's in the Maximum Fun Club pack is a Maximum Fun Club card, some stickers, and a pin. Everybody who donates gets the Maximum Fun Club pack. The Maximum Fun Club card is going to be designed by a listener who works for a high-end like the print shop, like an offset print, you know, where the actual things
print
that stamp
Deluxe.
Stuff. Now, yes, they work for Print Shop Deluxe.
And a sweet picture of a pencil surfing
exactly.
on the club card.
But we are going to have really super, and they come with like lamination. People think they're just going to get like a piece of paper in the mail, but it's an actual card, like your Blockbuster card or something. I have a lamination machine that I bought on eBay.
Can you like flash it at places for discounts?
Yes, you probably won't get a discount, but you can flash it for a discount.
Yeah.
It will be unsuccessful. Well, the flashing will be successful. The discount will be unsuccessful.
Okay.
We're also giving away, if you give $10 or $20 a month, Sound of Young America t-shirt in whatever size you prefer. Make sure that you mention what size you prefer in the little memo section when you make your donation. And we're also going to give away some prizes by a drawing to everyone who enters, including but not limited to a copy of Kasper Hauser's Sky Mall, a copy of John Hodgman's book, The Areas of My Expertise, that has been autographed by John Hodgman himself, and a box set of every episode ever of Get Smart that the nice folks at Shout Factory gave us. This thing is like, it's like 12,000 DVDs. I don't know. She told me what it was worth. It's worth like $200 or something like that. But
Get Smart's funny too. Get Smart totally holds up.
Yeah. One of the best that's ever been on television, pretty much.
Yeah.
So if you want to win that, you can also donate. And if you don't want to donate on a monthly basis, which is what we generally ask for, you can also just send us a check. The address is on the website. And you can also make a one-time donation if you'd like to. But $2, $5, $10, $20 in a month is something, or you can find one of those levels that you can do pretty much no matter what. You know, Jean makes donations. Did
I
you know that?
Know that.
My mom donates.
Oh, that's nice of her.
Do you out there, listener? We give you everything that you want to listen to, from this show to The Sound of Young America to Coil and Sharp to Kasper Hauser. We give it all away for free because we want as many people to get it as we can. But I can't do this much work unless there's money coming in. And I can't buy the shit, you know. I can't buy the external hard drives.
We had to pay Chris Fairbanks $10,000 to come in here today. So that's all out of pocket, mind you. We just cut him a cashier's check. So
anyway, I know a lot of folks out there hear those things and they think, oh, I should do that sometime. But now's the time to do it. We're running this from the 1st to the 15th. Just go to MaximumFun.org and click on donate and make that donation. And we really, truly, from the bottom of our hearts, appreciate it. Right, Jordan?
I do.
This is Jordan Jesse Go. I am Jesse Thorne.
I'm Jordan Morris.
I'm Chris Fairbanks, guest, comedian.
That was pretty good. You got to get sort of in a ready stance.
I'm Chris Fairbanks, guest comedian. Wait, I'm Chris Fairbanks, guest comedian.
That was infinitely better.
Yeah, that was forever good.
Yes.
Chris, are you from Orange County?
God, no.
But Jordan, you are from Orange County.
Yes,
I'm just trying to get this
nice place to be from, I was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from Montana, And then I lived in Texas. And then I lived here the last 4 years.
How did you like living in Montana? This is not what we were going to talk about, but I'm interested.
I've
been to Missoula, Montana.
That's where I'm from.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was really beautiful.
It is beautiful.
I don't know if I could bear to live there.
No. People aren't up to anything.
Is Missoula like one of those like kind of liberally pockets in the conservative place? Is that what Missoula is?
Yeah. Well, now it's a Democratic state.
No? Okay. Well.
But yeah, it is definitely the artsy,
it's the place
liberal
with like
college
there's like
town.
There's like a head shop somewhere.
Oh, to an irritating level, yeah. Yeah, it's
you're
very,
irritated
very
by the
hippie
of
weed smoking town.
I mean, it's a beautiful place though.
It is beautiful and good people and very academic.
And there's a lot of entertainment industry there for you to work in.
Exactly. It is a sea. I've always called it Little Hollywood. a lot of local commercial. It's funny because I am a commercial actor working locally. Apparently, or I don't. Are you familiar with Jack Steffen?
Yeah, Jack Steffen is a plumber in Orange County
from your area.
And I mean, when I was a kid, you know, here's the Jack Steffen commercial. There's an announcer, and he's got
I know the role. I know the part. You do the.
Oh, okay. I'll be the announcer, and you be Jack Steffen.
Okay.
When you've got a prom, yeah.
Take two.
The announcer didn't mess up. When you've got a plumbing problem, why not call your friend Jack Stefanski?
It's Jack Steffen.
For the lowest prices and friendliest service, you're going to want to call Jack Stefanino.
It's Jack Steffen.
So once again, look in your local Yellow Pages for your friendly neighborhood plumber, Jack Step Around Me.
It's Jack Hey, you got it right. Actually, no, I screwed it up. Anyway, as bad as that was, yeah. I ended up getting the part.
Which one of the parts did you get?
Oh, no, wait. I wanted that. I wanted the Jack Steffen one. But they also do A.D. Do, which apparently you haven't seen. But
Hold on. Let's back up a little bit. What part were you trying out for in the Jack Steffen convert? The announcer?
Yeah, I was going, Jack Steffen.
You were trying out to be Jack Steffen?
No, like, that wasn't Jack Steffen.
Did you come in?
No, he's alive and well.
Did
and
you
so
come in for the audition, and they're like, well, here's some sides, go ahead and look them over, and it just says Jack Steffen.
No, it was the whole dialogue, but yeah, that was what I was reading. But auditions are always like that, where like, you have a stupid like that's how they are. But no, the both Jack Steffen and Jack Steffen Senior were there.
Wow.
And now they're calling, and because I don't want to do the commercial. I've decided I don't
want to. So wait, no, well, let's, now time out. You tried out, you wanted to be the guy who goes, Jack Steffen.
Yep.
But instead you were supposed to be the guy that goes, doobie-doo-doo-doo?
No, yeah, there's a whole nother commercial, which, yeah, I guess it was misleading to talk about Jack Steffen, because I didn't get that one. But they had me also read for another one for another plumbing and heating company that they they own now, called AD Do. I don't know what it stands for. It's a combination of three words. Just saying AD Do makes me cringe. I hate the word. It's like the word Chipotle. If I hear it, I get upset. And I don't. And in the commercial, I had to sing. Like, they had lines. It's like I had dressed up warmly. And there's a fire in my living room in a trash can. And I have to go, the heating wouldn't heat, so what can I do? Call up the guys at AD Do. And when I say AD Do, they actually directed me to cross my eyes.
Wait, did you have to be like that weird Bronx guy? Is that the idea? You have to be that weird.
That's what I added to the character. Because whenever talking about plumbing, you have to be some dumb East Coast.
You can
person.
Count on Chris to make strong choices. Mm-hmm. That's what they say. You're going into an audition, you got to make some strong choices.
Even if they say, okay, think sunny California, I'm going to go, plumbing wouldn't heat what? Yeah, I turn into
got
Jersey
a pizza
boy.
Pie.
Yeah, I got a striped shirt and a curly mustache. My grandma's Italian. AD do. And then that's what they like. But it pays $300, and I know the original commercial ran from the time Jordan was born until this year, probably. Like, they ran it for 20 years. They want to pay me $300 to run this commercial forever.
Yeah.
And I decided, you know, I don't know if it's a good idea for me to do some wacky local commercial and have my manager or someone see it and be like, oh, nice choice. I guess you...
Maybe your manager will be watching Blind Date in Orange County at some point and see the commercial.
Exactly. He totally might. And so I decided not to do it. And now they're trying to bully me into doing it. They're calling, leaving me messages. They're like, you've really put us in a spot. Like, Jack Steffen.
Because you auditioned... Wow.
Yeah, we have to hold new cast. And I called back and I'm like, hey, just north of where you live is a town where you can shake a tree and an actor falls out of it, and I guarantee that 80% of them are desperate. Why don't you have another audition?
I would do it.
I had to get...
I'm in.
I'll give you the number, because I don't want to do it, and I'm tired of... I'm about to get mad at these
Did corners. You have to drive down to Orange County for
I'm
the
gonna
audition?
I'm going to go to them with a lead pipe. Yes, and this is live me threatening
and you're gonna be,
Jack Steffen.
You're going to be down there, and you're going to be like... Hey, which one of you guys keeps calling me?
Hey, I thought you were from Montana. Enough of that talk. Tink. That's me, like, hitting. I just would hit a pipe adjacent in the room. I wouldn't hit anyone.
You want to send a message, but you don't want to hurt anybody. Unless you have to.
If they actually started shooting and they're like, you're in the commercial, there's no way out of it, then I might have to.
When Jordan and I performed 2 years ago in the San Francisco Sketch Comedy Festival with Prank the Dean, I got this call like maybe 3 or 4 weeks later from this woman, and she said, hey, we saw that you were performing in the San Francisco Sketch Comedy Festival. We were wondering if you wanted to come out and do an audition. And this isn't something I normally do. I don't have headshots or a manager or an agent or anything like that. And I basically have acted only in sketch comedy since high school. And but I was like, yeah, okay, I'll come out and audition for some TV commercial or something. And we went in and auditioned. Me and our buddy Jim, a.k.a. Jim Rayal, the master of Would You Rather, went out there. And we went, it was in the Presidio in San Francisco. We went and did an audition. The premise of the audition was we had to be like really buttoned up because we were a businessman. And then we had to like freak out and go crazy.
That's like every commercial now. It's like something like, uh-oh, you know, businessman does something.
Yeah. It was sort of
water
like
water bottle hijinks.
It was sort of like a lighthearted version of Falling Down.
Right.
You know? In which I was Michael Douglas. So we did this audition, and they called me and they said, do you want to do this? And I was like, yeah, because among other things, I was totally broke and it paid $300. And so I was like, $300 for a day of work, can't beat that, you know?
Yeah, you can though, because they would run the thing forever. It's like, I think it's almost...
Chris.
Your job as a talented person, I could use the $300 too. I'm about to... you know, call and borrow money from someone, but I'm not... I think that by agreeing to do that, you're messing up the...
Well, I'll tell you, Chris, what happened to me.
They man somehow.
I accepted the role, and then they said, oh, and we just wanted to make sure that you understood that you're going to have to be nude in one of the shots. And
I said, wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that so? I didn't understand that.
And is this going to be shot off the premises?
And...
with just one person in a van?
But I just did it. I thought, well, it's not often that you get asked to do a nude local television commercial.
What channel in San Franny are they willing to show your cock?
They don't show my cock. I'll tell you what they do. They shot several different versions. In the commercial, I have an artistic bent. But I'm working in a boardroom situation.
No.
Somebody asks me a tough question. I believe it was, did you consider the yield curve? And then I go crazy and start tearing off my clothes and bouncing off the walls and stuff. And which it turns out is really hard to do repeatedly.
Right.
Easy and fun to do once.
Yeah.
By the fourth time, you're really bruisey and you don't want to do it anymore.
Of course not. Yeah.
But once I go crazy, then they say, you know, such and such. It was for an arts college. Such and such arts college is a great place to learn to be creative and don't get out of the workaday world. And then the parting shot, the little joke tag, is me walking past the secretary naked.
Uh-huh.
So they shot a couple different versions. In one version, I was wearing these underpants that had fire trucks on them. Mm-hmm. In one version, I was holding a box in front of my business. And in one version, I was completely nude. The nude version, they pixelated and they put on the website of the company, of right. the school. The box version, they played late at night. And then for not late at night, they played the version where I had a box and I was wearing
That's cool that fire underwear. Versions.
But it was really terrifying.
You have yourself a demo reel now. You need to take that
commercial.
Oh,
I do. No, I have a demo reel. I got it. I don't know what I'm going to do with it.
Hit the streets. You got to go door to door.
Start handing them out to random people.
I'm the laziest person in the world, and it was everything I had in me to leave the house today, so I'm the last person to pretend to give advice. I don't have a demo reel.
The next year I was working...
But you've been on TV quite a bit, though.
Yeah, I have it all sitting separately. I just need to compile it. And hand it to someone that cares at some point, I think.
Isn't that like your manager's job or something? Don't you
think it would be? It's a give and take. You have to help your manager help you. And I haven't helped him much.
It reminded me of that local commercial that I was in when you were talking about how it can come back to bite you, because not only did people recognize me on the street a lot from uh-huh. that in San Francisco, obviously not.
People recognized you from a box in front of your cock?
Yeah, exactly. they'd be like, yield curve. But also, when I was at the Sketch Fest the next year, and I worked at the Sketch Fest, I was tending bar. This guy who was a volunteer.
You were tending bar?
I was tending bar, yes.
What was this, the 1820s?
There was no mixed drinks at this thing. It was pouring beer and wine.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And selling people cookies.
I don't know if that's tending bar. Okay,
well, there was a
fine.
Bar, and okay. I was tending
There's
to
no
it.
There's no cookies at the bar.
I wasn't just like handing out things. It was like pouring. And,
okay. There were some light pouring.
Yeah, exactly. So I was at the Sketch Fest. There was this volunteer guy, and he's working for the Sketch Fest, and he says, I know you.
Oh, no.
I don't know why. And then he goes, oh, I know why. I interned at this advertising agency. This guy had seen my cock.
Oh no!
That's what it was.
Like he saw the unblurred.
Yeah, they like
footage.
Just showed it at the advertising agency to everybody who happened to walk in. The version without my business pixelated.
Oh wow!
Wow!
$300
And the guy was totally creepy. That was the other thing. It was totally a creepy guy.
Yep.
Nice. And was he wearing an Eraserhead T-shirt?
No, he was not wearing an Eraserhead T-shirt, but
I—that's my fear.
He did keep showing me his throwing stars.
It'd be nice to do something like this, and then just get the money and be like, well, no one will know about that, but they will. And if I walk into a bar, I already said how much I hate the sound of the word. If someone, hey, it's the AD Duke guy.
Yeah,
I'm
especially
like, well,
especially
I got to move back to Montana.
Especially a commercial with such an annoying catchphrase attached to it.
And to think that they're like, they don't get it. These plumbers are like, well, I don't know what the issue is. I'm like, your commercial sucks and you don't want to alter it. And I lowered myself to come in and just read it in front of you. I'm really mad that they want me to do it. And
and they're leaving messages like more than one message?
Yeah, they called twice yesterday morning.
And they're saying, and you, did you turn down, did you accept the commercial at any point? Like when
No,
they,
I went to the audition. They said they maybe liked me, and I was like, all right. And then I told the guy that is a friend of mine that is working with, I told him, it's like, you know what, I don't think I want to do the one that I ended up getting. I wanted to do the other one, but it's like, okay, well, this guy's out of town for a couple weeks, so we'll tell him when you get back. So I emailed the guy thinking, well, he might as well know. Yeah. I emailed him so he could find out while he's in England. He's someone that can afford to go to England. I'm not worried about his feelings. I've never been to anywhere. I've been to Canada, and I don't get to travel. So get a disappointing email, okay? And then go hire some. I hope he's listening. He won't be, though. Anyway, yeah.
The longer that you tell this story, the more forward and in sort of a combination of resignation and defeat you lean, and the further from the microphone you get. So if anyone is wondering why your volume was on this like slow decline, it was because you were sort of leaning past the microphone like this until you were way in front of the microphone.
That's just simply my dealing with the most uncomfortable chair in the world. I just have to adjust. I have what they call an anal fistula, and if I lay in one position on my ass for too long, And this will do if I just swivel. How about a little side saddle?
Anything to get away from the discussion of the anal fistula.
Oh, well, wait till you're my age.
You're listening to Jordan Jesse Go. I am Jesse.
I'm Jordan.
I'm Chris Fairbanks, comedian guest.
Right on top of it. Very good work,
yeah,
Chris.
I straddled that puppy.
This is Jordan Jesse Go. I am Jesse.
I'm Jordan.
Our sponsor on the program is Project Breakout. We were talking about the finalists last week. The three final videos are up right now on Project Breakout. I watched them all and enjoyed all of them. And I am actually going to be flying to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, where I will be taping the grand finale. In the finals.
Wow.
In the finals, it's 50% judges' decision, 50% votes. So people are voting on the website right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we're all going to, I think they're flying all the contestants in too.
Wow.
And Ann Beats, the original Saturday Night Live writer, who's also a person on the show. And Biz Ellis, who's one of the producers of Sketchfest NYC and a member of the great sketch comedy group called Meat. We're going to go down there and sit in judgment over these three poor groups of people. And I'm kind of excited about it, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun.
Well, it's in Fort Lauderdale. How could it not be fun?
I feel like I should make a Sanjaya comment right now, but I'm only kind of tangentially aware of Sanjaya.
I did. I mean, I think feel like we talked about Sanjaya last week, didn't we?
I don't know.
Here's my position.
I don't really
on
remember what happened on the last show.
Somebody said something to me about Sanjaya. My aunt did, and I went and watched Sanjaya on the internet. I don't know. It didn't seem that bad to me. I don't get it. I mean, it didn't seem any good, but neither do any of the other people on American Idol to me. And it didn't seem like...
Yeah. It's our fourth straight week of American Idol complaining.
It's just a guy singing a Stevie Wonder song. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
It's the whole show.
How good or bad could it be?
Yeah. We'll be right back on Jordan Jesse Go. Oh, but our sponsor, by the way, projectbreakout.com. La, la. This is Jordan Jesse Go. I am Jesse.
I'm Jordan.
You know, sometimes listeners reach out to us, and I think it is important that we reach back and give them a hand. Here's a call we got this week.
Hey, Jordan. Hey, Jesse. How are you? Love the show. First-time caller. This is Justin from New York, New York. I'm actually calling because I wanted your guys' advice. I'm thinking of entering that public radio host quest thing there that you've been, I believe, advertising on the Semi Young America. And I was looking for some advice as to what do you think if I, you know, get further on in the contest, some advice about doing radio. I've never really done radio. I've done like improv, sketch comedy and stuff like that. But I've never done radio. And anything you can, you know, give me of the wisdom that you guys have been doing it for so many years now would be greatly appreciated.
I think he has come to the right place,
yeah.
Jordan. Between you and me, we have...
dozens of years of radio experience between
hundreds
us.
Hundreds of years, mm-hmm. I think, if I'm counting correctly.
Dozens of hundreds of years of radio experience.
We have literally been doing radio since before radio was invented.
Mm-hmm.
We anticipated the development of radio and began preparing for its invention. Anyway, point being...
You come to the right place. Long story
exactly.
short.
Exactly. So anyway, just some sort of guidelines and signposts we're going to give you here. Obviously, we can't tell you exactly what to do, but we're here to help you out. So first of all, we want to cover some basic technique stuff. This is stuff that everybody in radio who's already in radio knows and everybody who's going into radio should know. First of all, talk loudly, just as loud as you possibly can. The reason for this... the people who are listening to you may be very far away, so just as much volume as you can muster.
Clear your throat often. That way the people listening will know you're a pro who cares about having a clear throat.
You have to have a clear voice if you want to be on the radio and you want to tell that to the people who are out there listening.
Let them know it's a concern.
This is sort of an ADA-related issue, but deaf people actually can't hear the radio. So always make sure that you have an ASL interpreter in studio with you for those people who can't hear it. Anyway, that's some basic technique stuff.
Yeah.
As far as content on the show goes. Now, this is, you know, it's going to be different for everybody, but here's a couple things that are, we thought up some ideas, just general radio ideas, public radio specific ideas. So let's start with public radio specific ideas. First of all, Jordan, what do you got?
If you want to be on public radio, try and make sure that your voice is lilting.
You want a lilting quality.
Mm-hmm.
Can you demonstrate that, Jordan?
Things aren't going good in Iraq.
If you are not already named Sylvia Poggioli, you're going to want to change your name. And the application can take weeks, so you have to go in front of a judge and everything, so get started on that now.
The fairness doctrine requires that your reporting be fair and unbiased, but here's an old public radio trick. Convey your bias with your tone of voice.
So, for example, you might say, yeah, I hate Land's End. Ordering stuff from L.L. Bean. That would be an example of conveying with your tone of voice.
Sure.
Let's talk about some stuff that's more kind of general radio stuff. I think they're looking for new voices, not just old public radio-y stuff in that public radio talent quest. So here is something. A lot of drive time radio programs, you know, your so-and-so and so-and-so shows, will use a machine which is called a 360. Now, this is a hard drive-based machine that will play sound clips when you press a pad on the machine. Now, and it might not be apparent when you're listening to your local morning radio programs, but those sound libraries of clips from, you know, favorite TV shows, television commercials, movies can take years to accumulate. The library can be very difficult to compile. So since we know that you're in a hurry, you don't have years, the talent contest is going on right now, we thought what you should do is just go ahead and press record and we'll give you some famous moments from some of your favorite films, okay? Hi, it's me, Borat.
I'm Austin Powers, and I'm feeling mighty sexual.
Looks like it's Spider-Man time.
I'm Donald Trump, and you're watching my show.
Okay, you're going to want to clip those, obviously, into four different segments, but that should give you something.
Yeah, just play those anytime there's a lull. You need to punctuate a point.
If you're taking a drink of water, just hit that button, and all of a sudden, hi, it's me, Borat.
And everyone will laugh. Everybody's seen it.
It's great to have a catchphrase, I think. Anybody who wants to be memorable, it's great to have a catchphrase. So we thought, you know, it's hard to develop your own catchphrase. We'll throw out a couple that we've thought of and you're welcome to use. Something I like a lot, the pigs in the poke.
Let freedom ring.
How about this one? And I thought I was Spider-Man.
One of these days, Jesse, I'm gonna murder you in your sleep. I mean, of course, you'd put the name
co-host. Whoever your co-host is. And also worth noting is when you say that last one, make a fist and wave it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because obviously they can't see it. It's radio, but it lends a certain quality. It's sort of like how you can tell if somebody's smiling when they're, like right now, you can probably tell that I'm smiling as I'm talking. Mm-hmm. Jordan, can you try that catchphrase one more time?
Oh, one of these days, Jesse, I'm going to murder you in your sleep.
You can hear him shaking his fist at me, I think. Anyway, hopefully that is some advice that will be helpful in the public radio talent quest.
I'll just go ahead and say you're welcome.
Yeah. Merry Christmas. I'll go ahead and say that. It's a little early, but, you know, the spirit of the season and everything. We'll be right back on Jordan, Jesse, Go. This is Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Last week, we decided that we would, first of all, I made fun of Jordan for participating in a Futurama drinking game.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, well, maybe we should have our own drinking game. And we got a lot of calls, some really great rules. We're not going to do the rules that quite yet, but I wanted to play two calls in particular that we got this week. Here's the first.
Hi, this is Megan from Hollywood. It might be fun to talk about the rules for a Jordan, Jesse, Go drinking game, But I think that we can all agree that anyone who actually participates in a Jordan Jesse Go drinking game is an alcoholic.
A sad one. Specifically a very sad one.
Yeah.
I can't disagree. I would not, if you actually play this game, you're a questionable. Maybe at Maximum Fun Con or something like that.
Max Fun Con,
sorry.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of excuses to drink. And when you're, and when you've stooped to, let's drink along to a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, you know, you're really grasping for straws.
We got this other call, too, that I think really, really makes clear what we're talking about.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse, Go. This is Ryan McKee, longtime listener, first-time caller. First of all, Jesse, I don't think there's anything wrong with nerds letting their hair down and having a drinking game to Futurama. Okay, nerds have a lot of stress, like deciding who their favorite character is on Hero, and worrying why there isn't more director's commentary on the Firefly DVD. It's not forced to make a drinking game for a show that they love. You know, if they made a drinking game that Beverly Hills 90210, then that would be forced. But the bigger problem I have is that you overlooked the fact that making a drinking game up for a podcast is the nerdiest thing possible. What kind of parties do you listen to a podcast at? And not even like a popular podcast, like Ask a Ninja or The Sound of Young America, but a niche podcast about video games and old Greek people. I love you guys, but I don't listen to you at a party. And I mean, you might as well be watching like a World Chess Championship or like a Discovery Channel on something like, I don't know, the photosynthesis. Podcasts are meant to be listened to alone on your iPod. So if you're making up a drinking game, that's probably for you to play by yourself, which is really a sign of alcoholism, I'm pretty sure. So here we go. My action item for the week, my drinking game for Jordan Jesse Go is drink every time you feel like crying from the shame of doing a drinking game to Jordan Jesse Go. Thanks very much.
Valid points, all.
Fair enough.
All I valid points.
All you can really say in response to that, fair enough.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
Well played.
We'll be right back on Jordan Jesse Go.
La, la.
This is Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Last week on the show, we got a call from someone who had just quit their job. They didn't have anyone to call. They didn't have any friends who were answering the telephone. So they called us and left a message about how excited they were. We, in return, asked for you, when you go through an important thing in your life, hopefully during or immediately after, that you call the hotline at 206.
As close to like the zenith of the drama as you can get.
It should be fresh. So, for example, the other day when I realized that they were spreading manure on the lawn immediately outside of my window and my entire house smelled like cow shit, that would have been the perfect time, right at that moment,
call the hotline.
Here's some calls that we got this week.
Jordan, if you go, this is Ben Watts from L.A. I just asked my date out to prom and she said yes. So, that was pretty damn awesome. See you guys later.
All right.
Way to go, Ben.
Yeah, man. If you're in LA and you want a little more advice, we can help you out. Ben should call. We should talk to him about prom, I think.
And seriously, if you need a ride to prom.
Yeah, I'll drive you. Ever heard of a Toyota Corolla? It's very reliable.
Extremely reliable. Jordan, didn't you go to the prom 5 times or something?
Yeah, I went to the prom a lot. I had a lot of proms.
For some reason, I thought I was pretty kick-ass for having gone to the prom 3 times because I was going out with this a senior when I was a sophomore, and then people my age when I was a junior and senior, or something like that. And I was like, hey, that was really cool. And I remember when we were in college, the topic of prom came up, and I was like, hey, I went to the prom 3 times. And then you were like, oh, I've been to the prom 5 times.
Yeah, I mean, at least in my school, I don't know if this is across the board or not, but I mean, prom is reserved for juniors and seniors.
Right, exactly, yeah.
But I mean, you can invite anyone. So, I mean, I got invited all 4 years
And then you were going out with a girl who was a year younger than you.
Yeah, and then I went back to prom after college, which looking back is one of the great shames of my life.
That's why I brought it up.
Yeah, thanks. I want to be clear that not, you know,
but
those
you were
times,
seeing that you had a pretty serious relationship.
Yeah, it
with
was
this girl.
A
it would have been weird if you didn't
yeah.
go to the prom with her.
Right, if she was just a buddy or something, and I flew back and put on my rainbow suspenders and.
Did you wear rainbow suspenders to the prom?
I did not, but I mean,
but you
if
did
it was
dress.
In that spirit.
But you did. Granted, you did wear the rest of Mork from Mork and Mindy's costume.
Yes, yeah. But those times that I went when I was, you know, like a freshman and a sophomore, I wasn't like dating those girls. Those were just, you know, like the girls in drama club who, you know, like who didn't
were
have
too
dates.
Fat to have a boyfriend.
No, not too fat. Just didn't too, like boys that much.
Because they were lesbians?
So not, I don't know if it was a lesbian situation. No, I'm going to go ahead and say not a lesbian situation. But, you know, just like not...
Asexual, like Paula Poundstone?
Yeah, a little bit, yes.
Okay, I gotcha. I see where you're coming from. Sort of like Paula Poundstone.
Mm-hmm. And I'm about...
I love Paula
I'm
Poundstone.
I'm about as asexual as they come.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a great pair.
Here's another call that we got.
Hey, I was just listening to the episode where you said that if anything drastic happens in your life to call... and speak to us, it's unfoiling. Well, right now I'm stuck on the roof of the house of the kid I used to babysit. We came out here to talk because I haven't seen him in a few months. And in the middle of talking, he just gets up, goes in through the window, locks the window, and now I'm stuck out here. And the little bastard's on the ground looking up at me and laughing, which I guess is what I have to pay for torturing him his entire childhood.
That's great. Oh, what a prankster.
What's great is it's not even the kid he's babysitting now. The kid has been stewing for the last 5 months about some awful thing that
sort of bedtime issue.
And he finally concocted this plan. He called him up and said, "Hey, can you come over? I just want to talk." And he said, "Okay, great. Let's go out on the roof." And then he locked him on the roof. Oh, that was wonderful. Thank you so much for calling us with that. That's the kind of, like, that is a really perfect example of the way that this system should be working.
Yeah.
Two perfect examples.
Keep them coming, people. As soon as something drastic happens in your life, please call us.
206-984-4FUN. This is Jordan, Jesse, Go. We'll be back in just a second. La, la, la. This is Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
And I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
We have come to the end of our program this week. It was a nice, fun program. Thanks to Chris Fairbanks for coming by. He's at myspace.com/Chris Fairbanks. Here are some action items for this week's show. Number one, if something exciting happens to you in your life, something exciting or important, call us and record your feelings immediately, during or immediately after, on the Sound of Young America hotline, which is 206-984-4FUN. Jordan, action items.
Action items. We want to talk about, we want to hear about your vacation destinations and whether or not they lived up to the hype. Jesse says, Hearst Castle was great. Jordan says, the Alamo is dull.
206-984-4FUN is the number to call there. If you have a rule for the drinking game, we're going to do rules for the drinking game on next week's show. 206-984-4FUN. You can also post it on the Sound of Young America forums at MaximumFun.org. And finally, and perhaps most importantly, your action item this week and for the pledge drive period, May 1st to 15th, is visit MaximumFun.org and click on donate and make a donation to the Sound of Young America to support this radio program and podcast, which you enjoy so very much. I hope.
Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you?
Special thanks. Our theme music contributed for free by the good people in the band The Free Design. They're on Light in the Attic Records. You can find them at lightintheattic.net. Now, on Jordan, Jesse, Go, we have been playing a song that a listener sends in from their actual compact disc once every week. We got a nice letter from Ola. Ola lives in Melbourne, but he is that's in Australia, by the way. And he is originally from Norway. His band is called Mind Over Mankind. Sorry, it was in an odd font that I couldn't read. They're on the internet at inventtheband.com. This record is called Odes to the Death of Everyday Life. It features an embossed dinosaur on the outside. Ola broke the rules by not picking a song for us to play.
Hey, let's just read them off the back and see what the best one sounds
okay.
like.
Okay, Affected by a Season of Disorder.
Love it.
Concert in Trembling Thorn.
Even better.
Fire in the Archives. From a Room with a Mirror. Hardcore Heart. I Understand You. The Most Beautiful Sound. And Waking Up to a Nightmare. Oh, Waking Up to a Nightmare has a video. So I think we better
play
it.
Yeah, let's do Waking Up to a Nightmare.
Waking
Although
Up to a Nightmare
I love the
it
sound
is.
Of Fire in the Archives.
Yeah. But if there's a video on here, yeah. for then that's the single.
That's probably the, yeah. We'll
Waking Up to
single.
A Nightmare from Mind Over Mankind. If you don't like it, we encourage you to press the fast forward button and skip it. We'll see you online at MaximumFun.org.
Should I feel ashamed? Why don't you let your head look down? Can you please feel that it feels good? Do you want me there? Oh, no, 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 no. Go back to sleep. No, 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 no. Go back to sleep. Please don't hurt me. It's not good. I want you there. I want you in my mind. No, 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 no. Go back to sleep. Touch it, my flaming hand. Why don't you hold me in your breath?